You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today, as I speak, we have a senator, the junior senator from Kentucky, that as I speak is conducting what's called a filibuster in the Senate. Senator Rand Paul is trying, probably not going to be successful, but is at least trying to defend the United States Constitution, in particular, the Fourth Amendment to that Constitution, which is part of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. And that has to do with the requirement of the government to get a warrant from a judge if it has probable cause that a crime has been committed. Let me start the program by reading to you what the Fourth Amendment says, because it's important to realize that both under President Bush and President Obama, the Fourth Amendment, for all practical purposes, has been deleted or removed from the Constitution by the federal government. And it's been done by your representatives in the House and your senators in the Senate, both under a Republican and Democratic administrations. Sad to say. The Fourth Amendment reads as follows: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That is the Fourth Amendment to your Constitution. It is an invaluable right that you have to protect you against any government's invasion of your privacy. What it requires is this: if, for example, the local police have probable cause that you're engaged in criminal activity, such as terrorism, they have to go to a judge and swear an oath or affirm and provide them the evidence as well as the specifics as to who and what they want to search and seize. In other words, they have to get a warrant. That amendment, for all practical purposes, was made null and void when your Congress passed the Patriot Act as a direct result of the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, 9/11, when the Twin Towers in New York City were brought down by two airliners piloted by terrorists that flew in those buildings, killing not only the passengers on those flights, as well as the terrorists, but also collapsed the building all within an hour, and where nearly 3,000 people died, not only in those towers, but also it was a coordinated attack where the Pentagon was also a target, and another aircraft flew into that building, killing many, primarily soldiers and civilians that work for the Department of Defense, as well as the passenger and crew on that flight. And another flight, maybe, we don't know for sure, was being targeted at either the White House or the Capitol building. But Americans, brave Americans, stopped it. However, that plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. I give you that background for a reason. Whenever our nation is threatened, and whenever our nation is attacked, there are those, including presidents and our representatives and senators, that are willing to give up their liberty for a sense of security. And that's what happened as a direct result of 9/11, the terrorist attacks that day. Both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party were in panic mode. And without few, if any, actually read the Patriot Act bill, it was signed into law. It was passed, signed into law with literally in days. And that gave the power of various law enforcement as well as intelligence agencies the power to disregard the Fourth Amendment and invade your privacy. Now, the motivations or intentions, some would say, are good. I would say, generally, protecting the country against terrorists is a very commendable goal. But these terrorists largely came initially from Saudi Arabia. 15 of the 19 were Saudis. They were all part of Al-Qaeda, which is an Islamic jihadist organization that wants the United States to attack them. They want to engage in a jihad, a holy war, against the Christian crusaders. And we are the Christian crusaders, the people of the United States. So they brought their terrorists to the United States and planned this operation. Now, it's sad to say, while I'm willing to give the necessary tools to the National Security Agency, which is primarily tasked with signals intelligence, in other words, the interception of communications of our enemies abroad, including foreign governments and military, and that usually involves the decryption of those messages, why I'm willing to give them the necessary tools and resources that they need, what I'm not willing to do, and neither is Senator Rand Paul, is to have them repeal, in effect, the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. Because up to that point, the National Security Agency, with some notable exceptions, especially under the Nixon administration, did not use that agency to go after American citizens. You see, I believe we need a National Security Agency, and they do need resources. They have a budget, and remember, their budgets are secret, a black budget, but it's roughly $100 billion or more, and they have approximately 40,000 people working in the National Security Agency, primarily at their headquarters in Fort Meade, but they also have other facilities. And they need those people. I think a lot of what they do, though, is completely unnecessary. In particular, particularly the fact that they're going after the communications of the whole planet. And remember, the population of the world is 7 billion people, of which United States citizens of about 320 million. What they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of people simply don't really understand this, but they need to. And I need to get into a little somewhat technical details, but not much. Since 9/11, and really starting in 2002, although some of this was done earlier, what the National Security Agency was doing and continues to do to this very day, they are intercepting all of your emails, all of your phone calls, all of your photographs, videos, anything that you transmit over the internet or the web, they have a copy of. Now, did they specifically target you? No. Did they get a warrant from a judge? No. What did they do? Most of the internet, not all of it, is over fiber optic cables. And these, the United States predominates in having them, but other countries have them as well. But communications over the web go over the cheapest route to send messages from point A to point B. So a lot of the messages from foreign countries are routed through the United States. But also all your communications of U.S. citizens are also routed over those same fiber optic cables. They put a splitter in that cable that redirects a copy of all those communications to one of their data storage facilities in a number of locations. The one that's been in the news a year or two back was the one in Bluffdale, Utah. And that facility is huge, nearly 1 million square feet. They're building another one that's has twice the capacity at Fort Meade. It previously was the golf course at Fort Meade, but it will be another huge facility. Now, what's the aim? They're trying to get copies of everyone in the world communications, probably for decades into the future. And they need what they do in those facilities. You'll see rack after rack after rack after rack of stacks of servers, hard drives that are storing all those communications. And that includes all U.S. citizens' communications. I'm emphasizing this for a reason, because a lot of politicians and a lot of talk show hosts, as well as so-called reporters in the news, simply have not digested the fact that they are getting all your communications. They focus on the metadata, the bulk collection of metadata, and I'll speak to that in a minute. And metadata is important. But what's more important is all your communications, and I mean every single one that goes over the internet, they are storing. Have they listened to your phone calls, read your emails? In all probability, the answer to that is no. But I need to, in a minute, point out some notable exceptions to that. So they're collecting a lot of information, and it's growing every single second of the day. For example, I'm right now streaming this show over the internet. Guess what? The National Security Agency will have a copy of this show, unedited, by the way, on their servers. Today, actually within minutes of me broadcasting this. Now, I want you to start thinking about it. I'm a fairly heavy user of the internet or the web to prepare the show as well as to be informed of what's going on. And I've posted literally dozens of videos, articles. I have a number of blogs. And let me mention before I forget, I have a companion blog for this show. This, that if you want to listen to the show, the way you do it is type in prompops.wordpress.com. That's prompops. I'll spell it for you. PronkPops.wordpress.com. And you will be sent to the latest show. Now, what most people that listen to this show are not listening as I'm streaming it. And frankly, the National Security Agency is really not listening to the show, but they are storing it. So not only this show, any of my communications and any of your communications that go over the internet, or for that matter, the phone lines. If you have many people today only have cell phones. They have all of that as well. But also that go over the telephone switch networks, for example, at AT&T and other companies still have the wires. They have that as well. Their goal of the National Security Agency is to collect everything. That is expensive. You better believe it's expensive, because you're going to need a lot of storage to do that, and it's going to grow every single second of every day. And what's a little ironic is, if you go to my post for this show, under my photograph, you will see links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. And at the very bottom of the page, you have links to my entire portfolio of shows. But in between, you have some of the information that I looked at in preparing this show. And one of the first items after the Fourth Amendment, with a little background, is a YouTube video of Rand Paul speaking in the Senate, starting his filibuster. And it'll probably last for hours, maybe as many as 12 to 13. There's another senator that's also going to help him out. So there's a Democratic senator whose name escapes me, but I know it, but it's on the tip of my tongue. So there's going to be at least two senators, and I hope other senators will join him in filibustering what they're doing. What they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is renewing the Patriot Act. And specifically, there are three sections of that Patriot Act. The most notorious is Section 215, which gives the National Security Agency, in their mind, the authority to, without warrant, collect and in bulk your phone records, what's called metadata. Now, let me briefly describe that. It's information that telephone companies have to bill their clients, in particular on long-distance calls. But every call you make, they're going to have information as, well, was it an outgoing outgoing call that you made or incoming call, the duration of the call, and the two telephone numbers involved. And with that information, the National Security Agency can develop, and they have software to do this that's rather sophisticated, a network of the callers. Now, what they ideally are looking for is a terrorist, let's say in Iraq, let's say he's a member of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which is now called the Islamic State, makes a call to someone in the United States. Well, that'd be useful information. I would agree it's useful information, assuming it wasn't a wrong number. But it assumes a terrorist is that stupid, and some of them are stupid. There are a lot of stupid people out there. Most terrorists today know the National Security Agency is listening, as well as our enemies, so they protect their communications from first just being intercepted, and ideally they need to encrypt it, which requires a second step for the National Security Agency to decrypt it. But the so-called justification for this is by having this metadata that they collect, they can determine who is a suspected terrorist. And it's useful information. I'm not denying that metadata is useful, but it is also an invasion of your privacy. Because did the National Security Agency go to a judge and say, we suspect that this guy that got a call in the United States is a terrorist? Because the judge is going to ask, well, what's your evidence? Well, he got a phone call from someone in Iraq. Well, that's not adequate evidence. You better have more than that. Because people get phone calls all the day, all the time. Now, I'm not in, when I was in the financial services industry, I did a lot of telephoning. And a lot of it was just to try to get new clients. And maybe one of them was a terrorist. I didn't know. I just called them. Would I get on their list? You see, that's the problem. I agree that the National Security Agency needs to intercept communications of foreign nationals, in particular citizens or members of governments or militaries that do not wish the United States well. And guess what? Other foreign governments do the same thing with United States citizens. So why the National Security Agency is collecting all this information? Because they have the money and resources to do it, and that is key. They get the money and resources from Congress. Obviously, if you don't have the money, you don't have the talent, the resources, you can't collect it. Well, we do. We have a lot of very smart people, and the National Security Agency employs many of those people in the tens of thousands that use the most advanced technology to capture or intercept our communications, everyone's communications, and store it in servers located at various data centers across the United States. There's one in Bluffdale, there's one in San Antonio, they're building a much larger one in Fort Meade, and they have to do it because people are communicating all the time using the web. Now, I'm sure you're like me if you're in the United States. Many of you use the internet, for example, to pay your bills. I do. I don't mind disclosing. I pay my electric bill, my car lease, my insurance, to name just three, over the internet every month. Now, does that mean I pay all my bills that way? No, there are a few bills that I don't pay. I use check. But most people use the internet to conduct business, and they don't want that business disclosed to anyone that doesn't have a need to know. I don't mind that my bank or the vendor I'm using to provide electricity or the company I'm leasing a car from or the insurance company has that information. They have a legitimate reason to have it, and I have a legitimate reason to expect that they don't disclose that information to anyone unless they're presented with a warrant signed by a judge, and then I'm informed of it. But under the Patriot Act, that doesn't have to happen. They can do warrantless searches of your information, all your information. Now, you need to understand they already have captured most, if not all, of your communications that you have conducted over the internet, not just the metadata, and that's the key point here. They have everything, folks, and they've had it for the last 13 years. It started really, got off the ground, and was ramping up in 2002. Once the Patriot Act was signed and once the money was given, large contracts were issued. And this is important to say, there's a lot of big money involved here. It's not just the budget that the National Security Agency spends within the agency, they contract out a lot of this work. It's big bucks. And we do have the problem of a revolving door. And I've seen it when I was in the Air Force. And I might even be accused of it. People retire from usually after 20 or 30 years and then go work for a contractor. Now, I didn't retire after 20 or 30 years. I resigned my commission after 5, after completing my military commitment, and did go to work for a defense contractor for a number of years. And then decided to open up my own business. But what a lot of general officers do, a lot of colonels do, in all the military services, after they retire, they go to work for various contractors. Now, I think they have to earn a living, even though they have a nice retirement. And that's their right to do it. I don't begrudge them that. But you got to be aware. There's a reason why many of these companies hire the former heads of, for example, the National Security Agency, as well as other military organizations. They want access to their replacements. And that's what happens. I've seen it up close and personal, where even the company I work with, which was a large General Dynamics, at that time was the largest defense contractor. I worked at the Fort Worth Division, and there were several military officers. All of them were former Air Force officers that retired from the Air Force. Fine. And now they're working for General Dynamics. So was I. And they had good paying jobs. Now, yes, General Dynamics and other companies hire them for a reason. They know their specific area, whether it's contracts, quality assurance, engineering, but they also have their contacts still in the military. And it goes on every single day, and it continues to go on. And the same thing is true with the National Security Agency. Many of the leadership in that organization work for private industry today. Some even open up their own companies, or try to. That goes on. And I'm somewhat doing a diversion here, but I didn't mean to. But I'm trying to make a point. Not only were your constitutional rights, in effect, revoked or repealed or made null and void, however you'd like to characterize it, a lot of money was given to the National Security Agency. Now, why? Our representatives, our senators, and our presidents, in this case, one president, Bush, panicked. 9-1-1 was the worst failure of intelligence in the history of the United States. And there's a lot of blame to go around. But the National Security Agency, as well as the Central Intelligence Agency, bear a lot of that blame. Also, the FBI bears a lot of that blame. And one of the problems is, and it's always a problem and continues today, you have turf wars. People don't like to share information for whatever reason. You have what's called stovepiping of information. Yeah, it was known among certain people in the National Security Agency, but it was very much closely held information. So there's just a natural unwillingness of bureaucrats, whoever they work for, whether it's the CIA, NSA, FBI, or many of the 2-3-4-letter agencies, not to willingly give information to rival organizations for a host of reasons. You see, if we had that sharing, there's a possibility that 9-1-1 could have been prevented. So the answer, at least by George Bush and many of the Republicans, as well as the Democrats, is to throw money at the problem and ask, what do you need? Whatever you need to stop another attack, you tell me and you'll get it. Money. People, as well as changes in the law. And that is what the Patriot Act is about. As far as I'm concerned, it has nothing to do with patriotism. You see, if they had confined it, their activities and their budget, to go after the actual people that were doing this, I have no problem with that. And I would assume that overwhelming majority of the American people do not have problems with it. Now, there are always some idiots, that want to do away with the National Security Agency as well as the Central Intelligence Agency. I'm not one of those. I'm for a strong national defense. I'm for a vigorous and efficient and effective intelligence community, including the National Security Agency, including the CIA, including the Defense Intelligence Agency, as well as the various organizations in our military that are gathering intelligence. Intelligence is important. You need intelligence, preferably actionable intelligence, to stop terrorist attacks. I get it. And I agree with gathering intelligence on terrorists, especially foreign terrorists, and that's where most of them are coming from. There are few exceptions, but very few. And they're doing that. At least I hope they're doing. I don't know how successful. You see, the mistake was made, and it's a huge mistake, to now go after everything, including every communication of U.S. citizens. That's the goal. Now, some of your politicians simply don't understand it. They're the useful idiots that will vote for the continuation of the Patriot Act, both in the Senate and in the House. There are others that fully understand what I just told you, that the National Security Agency is collecting everything. And they want him to continue doing that. Now, I'm looking at the clock, and I've done this in a past show, so I'm going to really be concise here. If you want more details on this, at the end of this of the notes for this show, you'll see past shows. And I did a two-part show on this, and I'm going to scroll down. I'm trying to get the title of it. It was show number 461 and 462, and it was May 7th and May 8th. At the very bottom, you'll have links to it. And that'll give you a lot more details, because I really don't have time to revisit that. But I need to highlight why all of you should be supporting Senator Rand Paul. And yes, he's a candidate for president. And a little full disclosure here, I have not made up my mind at all who I'm going to support, if any, for the president. In other words, I have not endorsed or supported any of these candidates. But I have said and want to disclose, I have a list, and there are four candidates that are on the list. One of them is Senator Paul. The others are Governor Wisconsin Walker, the senator from Texas, the junior senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, and I'm trying to think who the fourth one was. I have a short list. Have I made up my mind? Absolutely not. Because I have a certain hot issues. One of them be I won't vote for any candidate that isn't pro-life. So if you're not pro-life, you're not going to get my vote. Democrat, Republican, I don't care if you're conservative, libertarian, progressive. If you're not pro-life, that's a hot button issue with me. That's a deal killer. In other words, if you're pro-choice, pro-abortion, such as Hillary Clinton is, she'll never get my vote. I don't care who the Democrats put up, but if they're not pro-life, I'm not going to vote for them. And every voter in the United States has usually one, two, three. Some have a long list, but typically they have two or three issues that are deal breakers. And if you cannot satisfy them on that issue, they won't vote for you. And pro-life is one of them. The second is I want fiscal responsibility. I want balanced budgets. As a matter of fact, I want surplus budgets. So if you're not fiscally responsible, you're not going to get my vote. And on both those counts, Senator Rand Paul gets check marks. He's qualified. But so does Senator Cruz. So does Walker. Another hot issue is illegal immigration. There is where I closely look at the candidates, because I have issues with my four. Forget about all the others. Because what the Republican nominees are saying, well, I am for securing the border. Well, that's nice, Senator or Governor, but that's only half the problem. What about deporting or enforcing existing immigration law? And that's when they start to become like Jell-O. You see, we're always going to have the problem of illegal immigration until we start going after the employers that are employing these illegal immigrants. And until we do that, the invasion of this country will continue year in, year out. And that's where they get rather squishy. And you need to be real careful. And looking at the clock, I'm doing a diversion, and I need to get off this. And the next thing I look at is whether or not they want to increase legal immigration from 1 million, which I think is entirely too high, to 2 to 3 million, and some of them do. So that is the screen I look at. What I'm trying to say, there is no perfect candidate. There is no perfect candidate. There are always going to be issues that the candidate and I disagree. But I'm for limited government. That's overriding. I will not vote for any big government candidate of the Democratic or the Republican Party. And unfortunately, most of the other ones fall in that category. They're interventionists, both domestically and abroad. And that's where I part company big time. And what's ironic here is many talk show hosts go on and on and on about the interference of the federal government in the affairs of the American people and in business. And I agree with that. Most of the American people, as well as businesses, simply want to be left alone. The problem is the government won't let them alone. It keeps increasing taxes. It keeps increasing regulations, and now it's interfering in their privacy, big time. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, because neither party is really for limited government. So I have a choice. Either I don't vote, which I have increasingly, that's where I end up, because I can't support either candidate, or I compromise to a certain extent my principles. So those are the three issues. I also want tax reform. But what Americans, a lot of Americans, especially young Americans, but I'm not a young American. I'm older than Senator Rand Paul by a number of years. They don't like the invasion of their privacy. They don't like what the National Security Agency is doing, in conjunction also with the FBI and other police agencies, turning the federal government into a police state, a tyranny. Because here is the objection you'll always hear, or the response to some Americans will say, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. My life is an open book. And I don't mind giving up my liberty, giving up my Fourth Amendment rights, if that means they can capture a terrorist. The problem is, all the information they have collected, they haven't captured one terrorist, period. None. Zero. And that includes the bulk collection of telephone records. It simply hasn't happened. But what has happened, they built and spent a lot of money storing all my information and all your information without a court order, no suspicion, no probable cause, absolutely no justification. But you'll have Americans, unfortunately millions of them, oh, fine, if that's what they need. And it's the same problem in Congress. Well, we'll just extend the Patriot Act. The American people aren't paying attention. Well, let me clue you in. A lot of Americans are paying attention. I grant you the point, you have tens of millions that aren't, that don't really care what you do. But there are people that take the Constitution, in particular the Bill of Rights, real seriously. And they don't like what our representatives and senators are doing by renewing wholesale the Patriot Act and invading the privacy of the American people. Now, what's the danger? And I'm going to have to close the show on this. They really don't read your email or listen to your phone calls until you become a target. Once you become a target, what do they use? They data mine. They have programs that go in and accumulate all the information that they have on you that they've collected for the last 13 years. They make a dossier, and then an analyst is going to go over this information and invade your privacy. Did a search warrant happen? No. You became a target. You see, that's the danger here, ladies and gentlemen. This can be used by any tyrant in office to go after his political enemies. I think it's already happened, because I don't trust President Obama, and I certainly don't trust Hillary Clinton. And if they want to go after you, they will. It's already happened with the IRS. What makes you think the National Security Agency, on direct orders of the president, has not targeted one or more people, American citizens, and not for national security reasons, no, to shut you up? You see, that's the danger. Ultimately, once they have that dossier, they get what they call leverage, information that could be embarrassing to you. So if you become a target, they go after you. And even if you're innocent, it doesn't matter. They don't care what you think. They're following orders, and there are unscrupulous people in the government that follow orders and will go after you and have the government maybe even prosecute you. And they've done it. They've done it, for example, already to the Tea Party with the IRS. That was to stop the growth of the Tea Party movement, and they were successful. And now they have another tool called the National Security Agency. And our Congress, in its infinite stupidity, is not sensitive to the fact that the American people deeply resent the invasion of our privacy and making the Fourth Amendment null and void. So I stand with Rand Paul, and I'm waiting and looking at all the presidential candidates as well as our representatives and see which senators stand with him. See, the House has already passed a bill. And what, if you ask me, what do I think is going to happen? I'll tell you, they're going to renew the Patriot Act unless the American people support people such as Senator Rand Paul. He's wide awake. He knows the issues, and increasingly will get my vote, because I don't like what I'm seeing both in the Democratic and Republican Party in regard invading on a wholesale basis for years the private information of the American people, that 99% or more are not engaging in criminal activity, have no intention of overthrowing the government of the United States, are not terrorists. That's the problem here. It's way over 99%. Yeah, there's always going to be a few apples, but you don't turn the entire apparatus of the National Security Agency against the American people and provide them the money and the resources, the tools and the technology to create a turnkey tyranny. And that is exactly what our Congress, our representatives are doing. With that, I have to close out the show on a positive note with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.